Happy Friday. Here comes the weekend. It is 7:07. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy's here. And your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes.
I don't want to work. I want to lay by the pool.
And I'm fortunate enough to have a pool to lay by now.
Oh, look at you.
Oh, I bet she's been working hard, I tell you.
Well, somebody's got to do it.
Well, yeah, but she does all that hard work. You know what happened last night?
What's that?
I had to cook dinner. I'm like,
oh,
I'm barely alive.
The struggle is real.
You want to stress me out trying to cook a meal? Oh, but you know what?
What's that?
I'm a good man, so I rose to the occasion, Greg.
It's because you were hungry.
And I didn't want to have to sleep again with one eye open.
Good point.
Clutching my pillow tight. Anyway, it was pretty easy peasy. Couple of steaks.
Oh, yeah.
But the grill's been acting up, so cooked them under the broiler.
Yeah?
Man, I haven't done that in a long time.
It turned out okay, though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had it on the shelf too low at first, and I'm like, that doesn't look right.
Oh, so it wasn't, yeah.
But then I lifted them up, and then it went fine.
Sounds yummy.
And, some broccoli. That's it. Pretty simple.
Good combo.
Yeah. And, oh, by the way, there were lean cuts of beef.
It was a heart-healthy meal.
Yeah.
Is what you're saying.
Yes.
Yes, what you need to have some of those.
Although
apparently,
I did have a little, what do they call it? Ding-dongs? I don't know if they were official, like, ding-dong brand or whatever they were.
Oh.
Those little chocolate cupcakes with a little bit of cream inside?
Yes.
Yeah. Betsy said, okay, last little treat for
I
a
still
while.
Think, though, that those were better. Because I think they were more real chocolate when we were kids growing up and they were wrapped in foil.
Yes, I agree.
I think the chocolate is not what it used to be.
However, I do have to say that it was pretty tasty.
Oh, I'm not saying I wouldn't eat one. I'm just saying I think they were better when we were kids.
Yeah, probably.
Mm.
All right, but the good ones had lead in them. It was just like gasoline back then.
Yeah.
You got to have lead and gas, a little lead in your food.
And who knows what we were getting through the aluminum that they were wrapped in, you know?
Well, that's true, too.
So no wonder they tasted so good. Wow.
You know, if lawyers do work for you, you probably want to pay them, because if you don't, you know what they'll do?
Well, they don't need to go get an attorney, that's
for
sure.
They'll sue you.
Yes, they will.
Yeah, because they're like already, you know,
qualified.
That's what they do.
Yeah.
Poor Hunter Biden.
Oh, no.
I feel so bad for him.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
The law firm that represented Hunter Biden in his federal investigations is now suing him for unpaid legal fees.
Wow. Huh.
I know he sent him a letter.
Oh.
He said, I don't know if you're aware or not. My last name. You might want to double check the last name.
Uh-huh.
The spelling is correct. The family is the family.
Uh-huh.
Are you sure you want to actually go through and bill me for these services? Because I'm Hunter flipping Biden.
You're still going to pay your bills.
I think he also, in another letter, said, okay, all right, I would like to try to work something out with you people.
Oh, I know where this is going.
Can we work a deal? Because I have some very valuable artwork that I will exchange for near pennies on the dollar.
That's what they're worth.
Shh.
Oh, sorry.
Come on. It's,
yeah.
I was trying to help him out. I was trying to give him the art of the deal. But,
man.
Winston and Strawn, LLP, recently filed a lawsuit against a former client. According to the New York Post, the lawsuit states in part the firm represented Biden in several complex matters. Look, anything involving Hunter, I would understand, could be fairly complex.
Yeah.
Including a criminal trial at the United States District Court, District of Delaware. In turn, they provided him with what was described as extensive legal services in those matters, which generated a substantial amount of fees, entirely of which they said, they allege, Biden has not paid. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they keep track of these things.
Although a portion of those fees have been paid, Mr. Biden presently owes Winston and Strawn in excess of $50,000 in fees and interest that are due and payable. While some of Mr. Biden's bills were paid between March 23 and October 24, a substantial amount remains due and owing. Mr. Biden never objected to any of the any of our invoices for the legal services rendered to him. The firm, which represented Biden in both the Delaware gun case and the federal tax case, ultimately alleges that Biden had ignored its request for payment. Look, if they did a crappy job and he's sitting in prison, that's one thing.
Right.
I mean, you still got to pay them, but the outcome was very favorable to him, wasn't it? He got out of that whole gun thing, didn't he? Didn't he? And what
Pretty
about
much.
The federal tax case? He got out of that, too.
He's not in prison.
Wow. All right. Hmm. So his third letter that he sent to them is, he goes, yeah, sue me because I have blanket amnesty. Not only do I have blanket amnesty, I have binky amnesty. I get the blanket and the binky, and there's nothing you can do.
He's a mess.
So...
I'm not sure you get amnesty from paying your bills. I don't think so either.
But he might try to do that.
Yeah,
I don't know. Former President Biden made waves before leaving office, issuing an 11th-hour pardon for his criminal son Hunter before leaving the swamp after years of denying that he would do so. Remember that?
Kept denying it,
and I said, "Why? Why is he denying it? Of course he's going to do it."
Right.
Any one of us who's a father. Yeah, okay, you got the bad seed, okay?
Oh, yeah.
But he's still your kid, and you know that you knew you were going to do that.
Absolutely.
No reasonable person who looks at the facts of Hunter's cases can reach any other conclusion than Hunter was singled out only because he is my son. And that is wrong, Biden concluded.
Wow.
Wow. There's been an effort to break Hunter, who has been 5.5 years sober, even in the face of unrelenting attacks and selective prosecution, in trying to break Hunter. They've tried to break me, and there's no reason to believe it will stop here. Enough is enough. Now, bring me that auto pen.
Yeah, exactly.
Joe, if we bring you the auto pen, then, you know, you don't have to be here. Well, good, because I hear a nap calling my name. And he was out before he even completely left the room.
Couldn't even finish his ice cream.
No. So, can you imagine? We're representing Hunter Biden. Oh, good luck.
Yeah, right.
Good luck with that. And then they're like, yeah, we, man, I think we're going to actually, you know, get this guy off. And then to not get paid.
Shocking. Not. Not shocked.
Hey, it was just the other day that this guy virtually came out of nowhere, at least as far as, you know, name recognition for most people. And he's going to be the Democrat candidate for mayor in the Big Apple. And so more and more people are looking into, well, who is this guy? Where did he come from? I'm talking about the Democratic Socialist Zoran Mamdani. Okay, this is the guy. Well, there's some things that are beginning to surface. One of them is May 24th of 2022. It's not like, you know what I mean? I was in high school when I said that. No.
3 years ago.
It's just, yeah. He says, we need to ban all guns.
Wow.
That's a tweet that they have on record. We need to ban all guns. This is a guy that's very likely could be the next mayor of New York.
Hmm.
Breitbart News reported former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo conceded to Mamdani earlier this week after New York Assembly member Mamdani took the lead in the mayoral primary. Mamdani's ex-bio says, running for mayor to freeze the rent, make buses fast and free, and deliver free universal child care. Democratic socialist. That's what it says on his site. Huh. Wonder if there's anything else that he has said or done that might be somewhat unfavorable.
There's probably plenty if we keep digging.
Well, we might just here's a spade if you want to get if you want to help me out.
All right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. In the meantime, what's bugging you? A chance for you to air it out. Call in. Get it off your chest. What's bugging you is brought to you by Florida Pest Control. The only bugs they can't control are litter bugs. So call in now. Don't hang on to any beefs, anything that's irritating you over the weekend. Call now, 877-975-9595. 9825. What's Bugging You is next on 97.3 The Sky. Happy, happy Friday. Good morning and welcome. It is 722. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Time for What's Bugging You. This is where you call in, you air it out, you get it off your chest, and hopefully feel better. And it's all brought to you by Florida Pest Control. The only bugs they can't control are litter bugs. Don't be one of those. But call in now, please. Don't be shy. And if you don't get in right away, try back because we will try to squeeze you in. 877-975-9825 and Buckshot, what's bugging you?
Yeah, this guy, Danny, or however you pronounce his name, he's 33 years old and looks like he's going to be the next mayor of New York. Got people, Republicans, saying that they're worried about him being old enough to run for president in 2028. The guy wasn't even born in the United States. They need to read their constitution. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yep.
But he is a citizen. I think he's been one for 7 years.
There's a, you know, and that just, I know everybody cannot be, you know, native born, if you will, for all positions. But it's like, you can just see this agenda creeping in. The Omars, the Tlaibs, this guy. It's kind of like, they know what they're doing to, it's like incrementally taking over government with some radical ideas that are not American. And that concerns me.
I used to think that the Jewish vote was pretty powerful in New York. Yep. Did that go away? Because this guy has made it clear through different commentary through the years that he's anti-Semitic. So, and he's very much anti-gun, for sure. He's very socialist, wants to provide free for everybody. And what, and just tax the wealthiest? Yeah, because you know what? Taxes in New York aren't that bad yet. Snicker. Wow. Snicker.
Wow.
Horse Sense, what's bugging you?
Yes, good morning, men. I just want to start with, hope you guys don't take this the wrong way, but I've lived in Northeast Marion County for 42 years, and you have a county commissioner on from time to time, and I would not want to have his job, but try not to take this the wrong way. The truth hurts. But he would not want my job. If he did, he'd be 30 or 40 pounds lighter. But one thing I know is he's a politician, and all politicians get addicted to money. And you guys have your head so far up his hind end, it's scary, you know. And that's fine. He's a nice guy.
Can you give us one of the biggest issues that you think he's wrong on that you'd like to challenge him on, and I'll present that.
Absolutely. And that is impact fees in Marion County. I've owned a piece of property here for 42 years. And if I put a home or a mobile home on this piece of property, I will get charged an impact fee when I'm not going to have any more of an impact on this piece of property that I've been paying taxes on for 42 years. Yes, it's ridiculous. Yes, and there are other things. There are traffic things in Marion County and Ocala that are so goofy. See, I live here, and I know, you know, I've been here 42 years. I mean, I loved it, and I still love it. But, yeah, there are traffic things and impact fees right off the bat, you know. So, and one other thing real quick, he has the male version of the Kamala Harris tackle, if you just pay attention. That's about it, guys. Thank you.
Oh man, he's got a hearty laugh.
Yeah, but don't take it personal just because you got your head up his backside. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he said we, so yeah. But other than that, don't take it personal.
I mean, I don't know if you've tried to address any of these things, actually take it to the county commission.
Right.
That's a one way to do it. I can ask him about traffic, but just the word traffic irritates everyone. I don't know how much... What you think that a county commissioner can do. A lot of traffic relates also to the state DOT, and I'm not making excuses for him, but I'll ask him about it because I'm sure he'd like an opportunity to address him. But by the way, if you develop undeveloped land, it will have an impact.
Yeah.
It will have an impact one way or another. If you build a home, then there's a chance that someone who lives there is going to need schooling. You've got fire rescue, you've got law enforcement, all these things, you know, need to be paid for. And one of the ways that they apparently think is okay is via an impact fee. So the people that already are living there, they're like, yeah, if you want to come in new or build a house new, then, yeah, we're going to charge a fee for that. Let's go to Mark. Good morning. What's bugging you?
Good morning, Bob and Greg. What's bugging me is I watched the press conference with Pete Hegseth and General Kane the other day, and where Kane had all these big posters about the 7 B-2 stealth Spirit bombers going east and the 2 decoys going west across the Indian Ocean. And I just kind of felt, and maybe I'm overestimating the risk, but I just felt that they gave away too much detail and too much strategy. It's almost like handing the football playbook across to the opposite team.
That's a good point. Good morning, Shep. What's bugging you?
Well, guys, speaking as a recovering New Yorker, I was brought up, more like dragged up, on the mean streets of the Bronx. The problem I have with a lot of rank-and-file New Yorkers is they want to be controlled. This latest primary is proof of that. I can give you an example. A friend of mine and I, back in my high school days, we were rebuilding a Mustang of his, and we were going to put a big 351 engine in it, and we were looking at parts in the Ford parts catalog, and basically we were going to make it like a police engine. And the first thing from my mother and one of her friends said, that should be illegal. You shouldn't be allowed to have a car faster than the cops. Everything is, that should be illegal, that should be illegal. Like I said, they want to be controlled. To them, a car is just to get you from point A to point B. It's not a statement or anything like that. Of course, we real Americans think differently. See you later, guys.
All right, Shep. Have a good weekend, my friend. It is 7:28. Apologize, couldn't get to everybody. But we've got a lot more coming up on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. The latest headlines. It's all coming up. News Talk 97.3 The Sky. It's all processing, Greg.
Oh, I know.
We could all sound like that with the right process.
Hey, Bob, nothing personal, but can you get your head out? Oh, never mind, sir.
Oh, why would I take that personally?
Yeah, nothing personal about that.
You know, sometimes you just got to say, you know, bless his heart.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh.
You know?
Uh-huh.
That's where the Southern ladies have it down pat.
Absolutely.
That's one of the greatest things you can learn.
Yeah,
bless their heart. To let it go.
Bless their heart.
It is 7:36 on the Bob Rose Show. Your time check brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Maha! To you, I say maha.
Are you ordering at a restaurant?
What? Maha.
Well, that's mahi.
What's the Hawaiian thing? Mahalo. Hello, a greeting, right?
And
isn't
goodbye,
it?
Yeah.
Huh?
Mahalo.
Now give me a lei.
No, you get that when you get off the plane.
Yeah.
Or the boat.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
All right, but maha, make America healthy again.
Yes.
Nestle's. They're the latest food giant to announce steps in taking the Make America Healthy Again, vowing to remove all food, drug, and cosmetic colors from its products next year. Don't know why it takes time, but I guess better late than never, right? In a June 25th press release, Nestle noted that the vast majority of their products are already absent of these dyes. However, they are committed to removing FD&C colors from their remaining food and beverage products in the U.S. by mid-2026. It's part of the company's ongoing commitment to provide consumers with a range of high-quality, nutritious foods and beverages that reflect the diversity and choices that they want. See, that's where diversity is important. Diversity of choices.
There you go.
Right? Consumers enjoy a wide variety of foods and beverages as part of their daily diet. They want choice, value shaped by a dynamic. The highly personal combination of nutrition, quality, price, and convenience. Wow. Did you do a focus group on that?
Sounds like.
Whether it's an easy, nutritious family meal, an occasional snack, or a satisfying cup of coffee. We're always looking for different ways to offer great-tasting, compelling choices for our consumers. As their diverse dietary preferences and nutritional needs evolve, we evolve with them. So, you know, this is one of the companies now that's made a commitment. There's been many others. And, you know, if these synthetic dyes are not good for us and our bodies, especially if it's a child-related product and they're in their growth years and all that and their brains are developing, yeah. I mean, give them the healthiest stuff that you can.
Sure.
And kudos to the companies who try to make their products as healthy as they can be and make consumers aware of it. And, you know, you'll make your money back. A fireball was spotted shooting through the sky in the southeastern U.S. as a meteor shower was reported in the area Thursday afternoon. Greg.
Yes.
Did you see a fireball?
I saw the video. Does that count?
Well, kind of.
Okay.
Did it look scary?
Yeah, well, it definitely was big enough to get your attention. I mean, so a lot of folks picked it up off, you know, like their dash cams or whatever. And those were going around the book of faces and such. But, yeah, it was kind of a decent length of line there. It was definitely bright, even though it was daybreak. But you're talking about, like, Georgia, I think Tennessee. I mean, a lot of folks saw it. It was big.
But if it's a meteor shower, I would think there'd be multiple fireballs kind of sizzling through the atmosphere.
Yeah, the view that I saw was just the main one. Maybe
okay.
There had been something else along with that, but
yeah,
I don't know.
No impacts or injuries have been reported, and the shower is being monitored.
Okay. There was one report, and I think it was in Georgia, that actually a chunk of rock, potentially from this, air quotes here, shower, actually went through a roof and did some damage to a ceiling. So.
Now, would you be able to tell that that's, you know, because, oh, it's hot and smoldering. Clearly, it just came from space.
Mm-hmm.
Or what if it's not? And it's like, oh, yeah, man, that was maybe a backup in the toilet on a 757.
They look different.
Okay.
Because I have seen both.
Really?
Yeah, because the one is like a frozen kind of...
Yeah, yeah.
But it's greenish yellow because of the chemicals that are in it,
yeah.
Or blue. I actually have seen that had fallen from the sky when I was a kid.
Wow.
So I know what that looks like, yeah. And that was really... Because it was like, what in the world is that? But I ain't touching it. And then I realized later why I was good at it and touch it. But yeah, that compared to a smoldering hot rock,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a whole bit.
Which can
thing.
Be, if I'm correct, I believe radioactive, right?
I guess it could be. I mean, you know.
I mean, it comes from space, and
yes.
One of the belts around us is highly radioactive.
Mm-hmm.
So wouldn't it, by its very nature, have probably tracked some of that?
Probably so.
Okay.
But I didn't have a Geiger counter or anything to
you
check.
You didn't?
It. No.
Huh.
No.
How come everybody doesn't have one?
I don't know.
I mean, they made those pocket calculators so cheap.
That's true. Thank you, Texas Instruments.
All right, so the National Weather Service said it is likely that a piece of the object, what is called a meteor or space junk, fell and pierced the home's roof, cracking the laminate floor and coming to a stop.
Oof.
But this isn't the same as a meteor.
Well, they think there was a piece of the rock from that shower is what the impression that I was getting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But the big bright one, yeah. You don't want that falling on your house.
I don't want anything falling on my
well,
house
that's
if
good.
I can help.
That's a good point, too.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, for some people, they got a view of that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they thought it was pretty cool. I mean,
yeah,
it's
kind
of those
was.
Things. Cool as long as it don't hit me or
exactly.
My house.
Exactly.
All right. What else we got going on? Oh, there's one I wanted to touch on.
Yeah? What's that?
President Donald Trump recognized a third-generation auto worker from Michigan Thursday while speaking at the Big Beautiful event, noting that this guy he's referring to was a lifelong Democrat who now supports the president because of vehicle loan interest rate benefits. He spoke about the Big Beautiful bill from the East Room of the White House with a group of people standing behind him who represented various trades, including food delivery, farmers, and automotive workers. One of the workers standing behind Trump was James Benson, third-generation auto worker from Belleville, Michigan, who had been with the Ford Motor Company for 26 years. Trump introduced Benson, noting that Ford has a lot of plants in the U.S. If you have plants in this country, you're going to make a lot of money adding that he loves auto workers. Trump also said Benson was a lifelong Democrat until 2017 when he saw the benefits of the tax laws. Trump then spoke about his latest plan to benefit car owners by making interest on car payments fully tax deductible. Don't tell Greg.
What? What?
But the deduction would only be for cars made in the U.S., adding if they were made someplace else, we don't care.
Hmm.
The big, beautiful bill, and of course, things can morph and change between now and when it actually gets completely done, but it would create a new deduction of up to $10,000 for qualified passenger vehicle loan interest in a given taxable year. The deduction would phase out when a taxpayer's modified adjusted gross income exceeds $100,000. Applicable passenger vehicles include cars, trucks, vans, SUVs, and motorcycles that have been manufactured for use on public streets, roads, and freeways, and for which the final assembly occurs in the U.S. And the bill defines the final assembly as the process by which the manufacturer produces a vehicle and delivers it to a dealer with all the parts necessary for operation. Hmm. Then, of course, don't forget there's the overtime in that bill as well, and tips, deductions. Huh? If it does go into effect, it would be in effect for tax years 2025 through 2028. Hmm. All right. Good morning and welcome. It's 7:45. It's the Bob Rose Show. Don't forget, the Bob Rose podcast is available wherever you normally get your podcast. Just click on subscribe and download that puppy, and you will be all set, and you'll never miss a minute of the show. 97.3, The Sky. Is there anybody in the free world who couldn't immediately identify that music?
Oh, my goodness, no.
No. Why are we playing it?
It's very relevant.
Greg is going to be doing the next Tom Cruise movie and performing his own stunts.
Got to take a couple of pounds off and hit the gym a couple more times before mm-hmm. I can pull that off.
Actually, I made that up. Lalo Schifrin is the person who composed that score for Mission Impossible. He's passed away from complications from pneumonia. He was 93 years old. Now, the last time he got really kind of publicly recognized was back in 2018, and he became only the third composer in history of the Academy of Motion Pictures Arts and Sciences to receive an honorary Oscar. And who presented it? Clint Eastwood. Schifrin composed 8 scores for Clint Eastwood-related movies and projects. Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Yep. And, you know, said some nice things in recognition of his unique musical style, compositional integrity, and influential contributions to the art of film scoring. And you think about how it does kind of set sort of the mood.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
It's so, and you don't necessarily, like, that's very familiar.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't always have to be, you know, that sort of vibrant, if you will. It's
right.
Just, it's the way it's presented can make a huge difference in a movie.
Well, some of the stuff, I mean, you look at like Cool Hand Luke, that would have been a little more mellow compared to that. He did some stuff for Bullet. Mannix, that was another detective show we probably watched. I always watched that one as a kid. I like that one.
Dirty Harry.
Oh, yeah.
The Amityville Horror.
Ooh.
The Sting 2.
Okay.
Yep. You mentioned Cool Hand Luke,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, he did a lot of stuff. What a talent.
He really did. But, yeah, a very long life and a lot of work to show mm-hmm. for it. And the thing was, I mean, he was unique with using all different presentations, you know.
Right.
Kind of a jazz and rock, and he used more complex stuff. And I don't know. I don't know if there'll be another one like him. Lalo Schifrin.
I think he was Argentinian, if I'm not mistaken.
He was indeed.
Yeah.
Yep, and he passed away at the age of 93.
You know, for those of us growing up in that whole era of Mission Impossible, all the, you know, James Bond and all those kind of things, it took me back to that a number of years ago when I had spent a few days in Bucharest, Romania, because it had been after their revolution, if you mm-hmm. will, when they, you know, the people rose up and took back power. But even walking around in Bucharest, you know, downtown, and you still see bullet holes in buildings and things like that, you feel like there's a Russian spy around every corner.
Because
we grew up in that world you know, and again, you watch a Mission Impossible, they're around the world, they're in all these countries, and it's like, we all just, those of us of a certain age kind of chuckle. It's like, yeah, this is like a flashback to our childhood television. But we were there, so it was kind of cool.
Yeah, well, they painted the pictures, and they painted them accurately, now it's kind of locked in.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Lake Weir, heard from my friend John Roman. He's kind of like the unofficial mayor of Lake Weir. And he said that they had some nasty stuff yesterday, Lake Weir. They actually had like a small tornado or something that struck. Yeah, and he said, like, you know, it was minor damages. He said, mini tornado hit Lake Weir yesterday afternoon, minimal damage to boats, roofs, and docks, and then has the picture of what appears to be a, you know, a catamaran type thing, like up on someone's yard, like up against the
goodness.
Shrubs or
That's
whatever.
Not where they go. No, they
didn't. No.
That's not where you're supposed to have them.
So he's always checking in, and we appreciate it.
Yeah.
And John, stay out of trouble down there. Just keep the trouble to a dull roar.
You know, talking about tornadoes, you did the story yesterday on the one where that mobile home lifted up, you know, and we saw
Pinellas the video. County, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't realize until I saw a follow-up interview, the lady was in there. She didn't realize her house was up, even though it was kind of moving her from room to room because it was moving. She didn't realize until she saw the video just what had happened to her mobile home and how it... I didn't realize that it actually came back down to rest.
Grandma, you're levitating!
I know.
That's kind of what it looked like, the way the house sort of lifted off.
It did sort of tilted.
Hover in a way, didn't it?
It tilted. I thought it was going to like keep going, but then they cut the video off. Apparently, it did settle back down. But older lady, and fortunately, she is fine, because that could have been really bad.
Almost like the Wizard of Oz.
Yes, yeah.
Hopefully, it didn't come down on anybody. Or their shoes or slippers or anything.
I'm hearing a witch's voice in my head.
As for you, my little pretty.
That was on purpose. I knew he couldn't resist.
Did you?
I did.
You reeled me in, huh?
You were hooked.
I'll take it.
Yep. It's all right. It's Friday.
Yeah. I just can't stand it but to get some attention, and you allowed for that to occur. Thank you, sir.
Well, I mean, who else has a heart attack on the air trying to get attention? I mean, come on. You know?
I know. God, do you know what kind of planning that took?
Oh, my goodness.
It's like
goodness.
I had to time out the cheeseburgers, and then I'm going to do some bacon here, and then I'm
You'd had like the pre-pain the day before, you know,
I had
home.
To work up to it.
See?
I'm a method actor.
And then right there, between 9:30 and 10, the big finale, literally, during the smoking gun at almost 10 o'clock. I mean, you could not have planned it any more dramatic if you had tried.
I think you're giving me PTSD. All of a sudden, I was like short of breath, like recounting it.
Oh, no. What PTSD is me going, hey, Bob, you know you're not going to be dying on the show, okay? Enough of that. But a lot of folks did ask
about
last night.
Someone lets loose like sweat and it just,
oh, yeah.
You're immediately like soaked to the bone, head to toe.
Yeah.
Something's wrong.
Yeah.
50 Cent.
Oh, yeah.
50 Cent for your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
50 Cent offered New York City mayor candidate Mamdani, the Zohran Mamdani. He's making some kind of offering to him.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he a fan or something?
You know, I'm not sure. Okay. Plus, I don't want to say anymore because then it won't be an effective tease to pull people into the next quarter hour.
I see what you're doing there.
Yes. Because we make money one quarter at a time.
One quarter of the hour. That's right.
Well, we wish it was a quarter of an hour. It's usually just a quarter. But we'll take what we can get.
Good point.
We've got important guests coming up at the 9 o'clock hour. I'll tell you about that, too, next on 97.3 The Sky.